Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Sometimes we wish for the better. When we have as good as it gets. Sometimes the grass isn't greener. Soon as we find out, we forget. Sometimes a fool doesn't know he's a fool. Sometimes a dog doesn't know he's a dog. Sometimes I do stupid things to you when I really didn't mean it at all. Sometimes a man.
Sometimes a man, it's gonna be a man, it's not an excuse.
just how it is. Sometimes I'm wrong, don't know that they're wrong. Sometimes I'm strong, ain't always so strong. Sometimes a girl, it's gonna be a girl. She don't wanna deal with all the drama in your world. God knows I don't mean to give it to you. Girl, I'm sorry for the stupid things I wish I didn't do.
Well, welcome everybody to another episode of Unmasked with authors Terry E. Lyle and Chris Michael Ward. I want to thank all my listeners who's tuning in from north to south, east to west, and everybody in those 33 countries around the globe. Thank you. And if you'd like to call in and talk to my guests, then dial 347-945-6003 and hit the 1 key from your iPad or your phone or your laptop. And I will bring you into the conversation. But other than that, I'm going to first say hello to my co-host. How you doing, Chris?
Hello, Terry. Happy 4th of July weekend.
Well, thank you. And I can tell it's 4th of July weekend because the traffic is bad. But, man, I got caught in that rain earlier.
Yeah.
But, everybody, I got a great show. I have this wonderful guy, Mr. Anthony Teresi. He's going to be on here, and we're going to talk about our body experience and everything, and how he's going to leave your everyday world behind as we free our consciousness untethered. So stay with us while we have Mr. Anthony on the line, but please do not feel afraid to talk to him. Just hit the 1 key, because I see you on the studio wall, and ask him a question. Don't be bashful, but if not, you can just listen in. So that being said, how you doing, Anthony?
I'm doing great. Happy to be on your show. Looking forward to it.
Baby, it's a blessing to have you here because this is a Friday and you hanging out with me and Chris. I so appreciate that. But your story, oh, my God, I've had that before too. But could you explain to me when you started talking about our body experience, did you have that because of a dream cycle or accident or something traumatic or it just happened? When did that happen to you? Because I've had one, and I'm sure we all have.
Well, we all have, and I have had incidents in my life that fostered that even more. But at this point in my career, I'm really able to just tap into consciousness and put myself in a position to be able to experience a greater sensitivity by bypassing my mind, which is unfortunately the gate that usually keeps me closed, or most of us closed, and accessing pure consciousness, and then, of course, everything is available. So I've spent years, dedicated an entire lifetime to this process. It isn't like something that just happened. It's happened as a result of decades worth of practice.
Okay. Well, how old were you when you had your first desire to get into that deeply and study out-of-body experiences?
I mean, I grew up in a household that this was very much favored. My mother, grandmother, great-grandmother were all intuitive, all psychic individuals, and they fostered me. So I recall really being almost like an adolescent. In fact, not almost. I was really about 8 or 9, 10, something like that, as I recall. But maybe that was even before that. But so it's always been part of my life. I began pursuing it once I turned into adult. And I actually pursued music as a musician. That was my first love. But I was always curious to begin with about metaphysics and, you know, the other side and, you know, all these kinds of things. And so being a musician really helped foster that, because to be a musician, you really have to hone that skill and gift of being able to get out of your body and into the music as one. So it's been a lifetime experience.
Wow, that's interesting. But before I ask my next question, I'm going to let Chris ask his question.
Yes, Anthony. My first question is, to my understanding, you also have psychic powers. Is that right?
Define psychic powers.
Okay, well, I guess I apologize if I'm wrong, but like you can predict things. Did I read that?
Oh
wrong?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, well,
I can
did you always
do prediction.
Okay, did you okay? Well, did you always have that, or did that come out of the blue? I mean, did you have that?
No, I always had it.
Okay.
Yeah, I've always had. I was just making reference a moment ago to growing up. Even as a young boy, 8, 9, 10 years old, I would tell my mother that the phone was going to ring and was going to be my aunt calling. And sure enough, 10, 15 minutes later, the phone would ring. It would be my aunt, and everybody would laugh. And so I was never made to feel there was anything unnatural about it.
That's wonderful, Anthony. I got a question pertaining to that. You know, like you said, your family, y'all were into psychics and stuff like that. Have you ever been given the title of shaman? And what's the difference between a shaman and a psychic?
Well, actually, quite a bit. A shaman primarily is involved in ritual, and the shaman takes on the identity of what he or she determines the individual's spirit identity to be. A psychic or a clairvoyant, such as myself, is able to tap into another person's life via visual ability to see pictures regarding that person's love life or finances or spiritual direction or karmic stuff, all the elements of being in a lifetime. So a psychic doesn't do ritual in the same way that a shaman does. I'm not saying one is better than the other. It's just two different ways of approaching the same thing.
Okay. That's interesting. I mean, I know you probably charge people to do a reading or whatever, but off the top of your head, is there anything to tell me about me or tell Chris about himself? I mean, is there something positive coming down the road, finance or whatever, love life?
No, I don't do that on interviews, and I'll tell you why. When I do interviews, I'm here to talk about my book and myself and the whole thing. When I do readings, it's the opposite. I completely bypass myself. I focus totally on my client, and I become one with them, and it's a completely different process.
I understand.
That's
yeah.
Awesome. Well, what's the title of your book? The title of your book.
What's the title?
I'm sorry. Did I lose you?
No. I said, what is the title of your book?
I'm sorry. Okay. The title is Rippling Waves, A Spiritual Journey to the Heart of the Universe.
Wow. Okay, Chris, ask the question, and I'm going to ask you some more questions about his book.
Okay.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, well, you know, I do find you interesting, and I guess my next question, if I can get it out, is what's the most fun of being? Because I'm not psychic or clairvoyant, even though I do try to be psychic. But what's the most fun about being what you are? You know.
Well, on a personal level, it's extremely exhilarating making breakthroughs and finding yourself in different dimensions and, interfacing with different kinds of beings and at different levels, celestial, all kinds of different, the universe is full of life. On a professional level, it's wonderful to be able to just simply help someone. Someone comes in, wants to talk to me or on the phone or whatever, and they're having problems with their life or whatever it is, and we're able to get to the heart of the matter. And the most thrilling thing is when I hear back from them and they say, oh, my God, you were right, and this really helped me, and thank you so much. And so it's a very fulfilling circumstance.
Well, Anthony, you know how people be out there and they be having their set up for, it can read tarot cards or psychic ability. How can a person, just a random person, can pick out whether, if they go to one of those places, that they are a fraud and not the real deal? Is there anything that we could do to make sure we're dealing with somebody who actually has the ability, such as yourself?
So you're asking me how a random person can tap into their own psychic ability? Is that what I'm hearing?
No, I'm asking you, how can a random person go to one of those places that have outside psychic and tarot card reading and know that once they're in there, that this person is a fake? How can we tell a real one
like yourself, or a fake one? That's a great question. Thank you for allowing
me
to. A real psychic will not ask you for very much information, maybe your name, maybe your birthday, and they will never charge you more than what their stated price is prior to you coming in. The fake is the person that's going to tell you a story that goes something like this. Oh, yeah, I see that you're very lucky, but oh, my goodness, someone has put a spell on you or a member of your family, and this is standing in your way of your love life or your finances, and for an extra $5,000, I can remove that spell, and you will be able to achieve great happiness. That is a fake. That is a con artist. And the crazy thing about it is that sometimes a person like that will have a degree of psychic ability, and they will be able to tell a person something about themselves or whatever, which makes them seem like they're real. But anyone asking you for more money than they charge, anyone promising to, you know, make someone love you or have you hit the jackpot, that's just nonsense.
Well, you know, me, I don't know, but I kind of think that if you're looking at a person and having eye contact and watching what they're doing with their hands or fidgeting or whatever, I believe everybody can be intuitive to a certain degree just by being observant and also looking and hearing what they're saying. Do you think that's a true statement?
Yeah. I mean, everybody is intuitive. Everybody has the ability. It isn't just, you know, certain people. Unfortunately, our society, at least our society in this country, is pretty much geared into, you know, the mental process and, you know, the message that comes through, most of the media and stuff. And that, unfortunately, is the process that drowns out a person's ability to tune into their psychic ability or their intuition. But I will give you an example of what I'm talking about.
Okay.
How many times have you heard or seen or had this happen to you? You are thinking about something and you're wondering what decision to make, and all of a sudden you get this sort of feeling about, okay, that's what you should do. You hear a little voice or you get a symbol, and then immediately your mind says, oh, no, that's impossible. That's not the right way. But sure enough, a month, two, three, a year later, something happens and you say to yourself, man, I knew it. I knew that was the right way. That is your psychic voice speaking to you.
Okay. I've had that happen before, you know, and you always find yourself second guessing, should I do this or should I don't, and make bad choices. Yeah, and that's like, you know, I've had that before. So, Chris, you ask your question, darling.
All right. Well, Anthony, do you ever think that you can, do you see yourself, I'm trying to ask these questions in a respectful way, but do you ever see yourself retiring from doing all this, or do you enjoy it?
Well, I enjoy it. I don't think I'll ever retire in the truest sense of the word. I might move on to working with groups who are dedicated to the betterment of humanity. That feels to be my next step that I'm going to be making. But I don't feel retirement is in my lifetime. I think I'm here to serve and to help. And as long as I can do that, I will.
Yeah, awesome. It makes sense because something is just natural part of who you are, you know, so you're inclined to do that. So a person that might want a reading, what are your fees like?
What are my fees like?
Yes.
I charge $210 an hour, $110 for 30 minutes.
Oof.
Okay. Any guarantees?
I do have a guarantee. It's on my website. You know, if someone calls in, pays their money, and say 5 minutes goes by and they don't feel like I'm doing, that they're connecting with me or whatever, I will refund their money. It isn't a situation where you can't call me up and spend an hour and then say that you're not satisfied, because that's like eating a meal and not paying for it, right?
Absolutely.
A lot of times people say, I just don't feel we're connecting. Or sometimes that happens, and sure, no problem.
Wow. That, you know, I'm glad you have a guarantee that they feel that they can get reimbursed or another reading. Chris, do you have another question for our guest?
Yes, Anthony. My next question is, are there any psychics? Do psychics have, like, friendships? Like, you know, do they hang out with other psychics or, you know, the things you do, do you hang out with people that do what you do, or are you very, like, a loner?
No, quite the contrary. I go to conventions. Unfortunately, I haven't had it in a while for obvious reasons, but I go to gatherings. I go to conventions. I speak. I've done keynote speaking at certain events in different countries. It's interesting to note, believe it or not, that if we were to rank the United States as far as spiritual intention or spiritual desire, we're about eighth or ninth in the world. There are a lot of different countries that are much more open to these kinds of things. So often these gatherings are international gatherings, but no, I love getting together with other people and talking and, you know, I try to have as wide of a variety and as diverse a group as I possibly can, because everyone has a little piece of the truth. And the more that you connect that and the more you are connected to that, the better and then the greater you are able to understand that.
Okay, well, that leads me to another question. Do you or your psychic community of friends that y'all hang out with, do y'all use that ability to decide whether or not this person is going to be a good friend? Because I would feel a little nervous if I knew that someone had that ability, and I didn't know they had that ability, but they were sizing me up and they were saying stuff that was hitting on. I would feel a little uncomfortable.
Well, I mean, I do that for clients. I will tell a client if they're asking me about a person, if that person is someone that they can count on or rely on. But I personally, unless I'm working or doing a show like this or whatever, I'm not on 24/7. I wouldn't ever want to do that, because that would just be too much. Fortunately, as I mentioned earlier, I spent many years as a musician, and to a certain extent, I approach my psychic ability that way. When I'm doing a reading for a person or involved in any kind of psychic activity, it says if a song is starting, and I play it until it's over, and then I'm done.
Okay. And as well, have you ever walked into a room and you felt a vibe about somebody that it made you uncomfortable, that you felt you had to leave right away?
Yeah, a lot, actually. I don't necessarily, I'm not affected by that, because in the time that I've spent my lifetime doing this, I've learned a long time ago how to protect myself and you know, how to keep energy like that from affecting me. But that does not mean that I can not feel it. Often I can feel it, and, you know, but depending on the circumstances, if I'm really uncomfortable and there's no reason for me to be there, then I'll leave. But I've gone for clients. I've gone into homes that had negative energy, done clearing, and done you know, a purification process. So I do that kind of stuff as well. But as far as me being worried about that, I'm not personally worried about that at all.
Wow, Anthony, that's awesome what you do. I mean, I could talk to you forever, but I'm going to let Chris ask this question because I got some more questions for you. That's awesome. Go ahead, Chris.
All right, Anthony. Well, have you ever given, like, gave your services to, like, people in your family, or is it strictly strangers?
No, I don't read for anyone in my family or my friends, and I'll tell you why. In order to have an accurate reading, me personally, I can't have a stake in the outcome. For example, if I was to read for my sister or my brother or my daughter or whatever the case may be, I would be compromised because whatever I would see, I would want it to be the best for them because I love them. So I don't read for them at all, and I don't read for anyone that I don't have that ability with. When someone comes into my office, if they're a stranger or even if they're a client that I've known for a long time, I have that relationship with them, and I have that objectivity, and that's what grants me the ability to be accurate.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, Anthony, I want to delve a little bit more into your book. Okay, when did your book come out, and what prompted you to write the book?
Well, several things, really. Obviously, the state of the world is kind of crazy at this particular point.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And, yeah. And, you know, with this pandemic coming, and I had been working on this book for about 2.5 years before the pandemic started. And when the pandemic came and I realized what it was, and I realized that it corresponded to certain influences that I had been seeing, I felt it was time to inject into society something that was optimistic, enthusiastic, and, you know, was dedicated to bringing light into the world as opposed to so much darkness and fear. So I put this in as a priority. It took me another year and a half, so about 3.5 years total. But that was the primary reason, not to mention the fact that even though this book is in story form, it represents a lifetime of experiences. And I couldn't put them all down as individual experiences because the book would have been 10,000 pages long, right? So I had to put them into a story form. And the story itself is a compilation, kind of you know, some of the experiences I've had, some of the things that have happened to me, and some of the things I've seen. And it follows the storyline, but it also describes different levels of consciousness, different levels of vibration, and different levels of reality.
Wow, I'd like to get one of your books, you know, because I'm interested in that. And that brings me to my next question. Everybody don't believe the same thing, but I believe when you have an out-of-body experience that you're on so many different levels and your mind is free to understand what you don't understand. And with that being said, I believe that UFOs exist. What do you feel about that?
I'm sorry, you believe what?
That UFOs are real. Alien life form.
Yeah, I definitely. In fact, I don't even believe that. I know that for a fact. That's not even a belief. That's. I mean, I know that as much as I know the sun's going to rise in the east tomorrow. I mean, it's pretty arrogant of humanity to think that of this entire universe, we're the only intelligent beings. I mean, come on.
That's the thing I say. You know, but people are like, oh, they don't exist because you don't really see it or want to accept these phenomenons that's happening, you know, one more tiny earth. Yeah.
Well, we got a problem here on this earth, unfortunately, and in terms of this subject. If you were the Starship Enterprise, okay, and you were circling the globe and you were in orbit around planet Earth and you were deciding that you wanted to make contact, who would you contact? I mean, who speaks for planet Earth? And the answer, of course, is no one. There's no one global unity. And this is what I make reference to in the last chapter of my book, that realistically, until we are in some kind of unity as a planet and we are functioning as a people, I don't think we're going to have any traditional type contact. I think we might have people like myself who had these experiences and other people, but again, like I said before, we're so divided that there's no way to know who speaks for planet Earth.
Right. Yeah, absolutely right. Chris, you have a question for Anthony?
Yes, Anthony. I'm on your website, and it says, you know, people can schedule to meet in person on the phone or on Zoom or Skype. So my question is, out of all those methods, which one is your favorite? Like, is it easier to read people in person rather than on the phone, vice versa?
All the same for me. I have found that people, especially if you're in my neighborhood, they will find that they feel they get more out of an in-person reading. But distance does not come into play in what I do. You could be next door or you could be on the moon, and it wouldn't make any difference. So I've utilized all these techniques. Sometimes it's better for a person. Some people like to see. So I use Skype or I use Zoom. Other times people don't want to see. They just want to talk, use the phone. And I do have a regular office in Thousand Oaks that I see people at. So I try to offer as much variety as I can as far as contacting me.
Okay. Well, you said your family was raised up in the ability for psychic energy and things like that. So your parents or your grandma or whoever, who were those individuals that, you know, had the ability before you was aware of your own?
Who were the members of my family?
Yes, they had the ability to be psychic.
Oh,
or,
okay.
You know,
it all came from my mother's side. My mother had the ability, and my aunt, my grandmother, and my great-grandmother, as far as I know, as far as we know, I mean, there could go back farther than that, but that's the records we have. But I was fortunate in that, and you were speaking of UFOs, I was fortunate in that my dad, although he wasn't quote-unquote psychic, he really was involved in the early beginings of UFO. He was just fascinated by that. So I grew up with him telling me about life on other planets and other beings and universes full of people. And so, again, I was extremely fortunate in terms of my early childhood being exposed to these things as if they were just just another fact, not fiction. And then most importantly, I think for me anyway, is that I was not made to feel like I was weird or crazy.
Well, did that help you when you was young, when you was in school? Did you have friends who were afraid of you because of your ability? And because of your ability, did you do great with your school grades?
No, because when I was young, I didn't even know what I was. I mean, I didn't realize, I mean, at that stage of the game, I didn't really make much. It didn't mean that much because I just thought everyone was that way. So it wasn't really until my late teens and early 20s that I began to realize what was going on. And again, I didn't make too much of it. It wasn't until many years later that I decided to move into this as a career, a shift over from being an artist to a psychic. It wasn't until then that I began to really realize, you know, what had been transpiring my whole life long. And sometimes people, sometimes people I meet, when they find out I'm a psychic, they can be a little like, oh my God, you know, what are you reading me? And the answer is really no. I really don't want to know about you if you don't want me to. Okay, so. You know, if I go into a grocery store, I do not want to know what everyone is feeling and thinking. Trust me, it's true.
I hear you, Anthony. But you know, I can understand why you feel that way, because I think by nature we all have something to hide, and when you know a person has the ability to be clairvoyant and psychic and all those other things, we'll be thinking that they're looking into those hidden areas that we don't want to discuss. So it would make a person like me feel like, I don't want to be around this person because they know something I don't want anybody else to know.
Yeah, I hear you. But, and you know, it can be a problem. I mean, I've had friends of mine who are in this business who have had lost relationships over it. So I'm not saying
really?
It isn't. But it happens a lot, believe it or not. Especially if one party in the relationship, you know, is having a difficulty, accepting the fact that the other person has that ability. The funny thing about it is, though, that, like I said a moment ago, most of us, in fact, I've never met anyone who could use this gift for themselves. In other words, if I don't know what the lotto numbers are going to be. If I did, I would use it, but I don't. But again, I have found that a lot of my friends, especially women, believe it or not, who are in this business, have had the very difficult luck with relationships.
Wow.
Yeah, because they always know if their partner's cheating on them.
Yeah, so let me ask you this one question before I kick it over to Chris. You know, I'm trying to be funny, but this is a real question. So if I see a guy that is trying to get close to me, and I say, oh, no, he's a knucklehead, you know, and I ain't feeling that, do you think that's psychic? Well, that's just a preference.
You're asking
well,
me
Anthony,
that? So I'm sorry. You cut out there for a second.
I said, suppose that this guy was trying to get with me, and for whatever reason, I sized him up and said, like, no, he's a knucklehead. I ain't feeling that. Is that just purely observation, or could that be a deeper level of intuition, psychic ability for me to shut it down? Because I must be pretty difficult to, you know, give a person a pass. I'm looking at everything, you know?
Yeah, I got you. No, that's something that I have great, deep respect for. That's women's intuition. And I have a high regard for that. Most women, unfortunately, don't listen to their intuition or their feelings, and which are almost always right. And, you know, I come across that a lot. But no, in that particular case, you would be listening to your inner voice. And,
okay.
You know, it's kind of funny. You never know when you dodge the bullet. You only know when you don't.
Well, that's not true. Sometimes you know, because if you sit there and let this one guy go, that this is like he had all the things going for him, and then down the road, the next woman he got with, he beat the hell out of her. You know you dodged the bullet.
Yeah, there's all kinds of examples. But, I mean, bottom line is that a woman knows. Men
mm-hmm.
tend to intellectualize things and a lot more. And I'm not just being a gender issue here. I mean, it's just the way where we are. Women are more in touch with their feelings. Intuition is more in touch, more an aspect of feelings and emotion. So it's just a natural ability.
Okay. Well, Anthony, I could have another question. Let me ask this question. I love talking to you.
All right, Anthony. My question is, you know, now with the when we was all living under COVID, everything was slowed down. So, now with everybody getting, you know, the vaccine and the world opening back up, how has that affected your business? or, I mean, not your business, but what you do, or did it remain the same during COVID?
No, it did not remain the same. It remained the same in terms of being able to talk to people, you know, via Zoom and phone and all that. But because of where I am, there were laws in effect, and I had to shut my office down. We just reopened, as a matter of fact, middle of June, actually the beginning of June. So for about a year and a half, I guess it was, maybe a little less, I was not able to see people in person. But other than that, unfortunately for me, I have clients all over the country and even all over the world. And obviously, Zoom came in as the go-to kind of technology. So in many ways, that saved the day for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish I would have had Zoom stop, because I'd be doing pretty good by now. But, you know, pandemic really made that a workable way to communicate. So on that note, I just love having you here, Anthony, but we seem to be running out of time. Could you tell people how to get a hold of you, your website, your media sites, so they can connect with you?
Absolutely. It's just my name.com, AnthonyTheresi.com, AnthonyTheresi.com. That has all of my info, my pricing. It has a tab that you can click on, and it will take you right to my book. And it also has some music that I've composed and performed. It has a large variety of
Well, I so appreciate that you're here this evening, and I would like for you to get with me after the show is over. So I want to get a book, and I want mine autographed, though. And this is absolutely wonderful. And once you've been on my show, Anthony, this is home for you. You can always come back. Just give me a call and say, Terry, I want to discuss this or discuss that, and we'll bring you back on the show, because this is home now. Once you've been here, you can always come back, you know. And we
appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate you, darling, because this is a Friday. And, you know, to be able to spend time on a Friday with us, oh, man, that's heartfelt, and you humble my spirit. And I thank you for that. So on that note, darling, keep in contact. And I'm saying I'm sincere about, don't feel like, well, we were going to show last month. I can't call you. That's not true. You can call me.
Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome.
I want to thank you for having me on, and I want to thank you for being in a position to get this word out to people. And, you know, even if we only find a few people that are interested in this, we will have been able to do a wonderful thing. So I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And that's the point of this show. That's why we call it Unmasked, because everybody got a story to tell. And the people in those 33 countries, you know, they need to know what's going on. And I appreciate your story. I appreciate your time. And just give me a call. Let me know what's going on with you, Anthony.
Absolutely. All right. You take care now.
Okay. You take care. Have a great weekend.
Take care.
Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.